Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and we're at chapter 12. And this is one of the mighty passages of the New Testament. Dr. Graham Scroggie thought that this was maybe the most mighty passage in the New Testament, and he was no mean expositor. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." You see, the church at Corinth, behind Paul's back, was criticizing him. And he thought he would answer this by talking about some of the visions and some of the revelations the Lord had given to him. And mind you, the Lord had done mighty things for this man, which I think the Corinthians had forgotten about. And so he's going to talk to them now. "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Just want to stop with this paragraph for a moment and point out one or two things there. You know, the humility of the man really touches me. It's himself, of course, he's talking about. And 14 years before he pens this chapter, above 14 years, it's just a little bit beyond 14 years back, God took him up to heaven one day. And you know, he hasn't uttered one word about it for 14 years. Not one word. Nobody knew. That just gives us a picture of the humility of the man. What a character he was. I know folks in Belfast, and if they were taken to heaven today, for the next 6 months, the TV and downtown radio, all the papers round about would be filled with it. Not Paul. No, he wasn't bothering with it, but they're pushing him now. Sometimes when a fellow gets pushed too much, he says a thing or two. He's just letting these Corinthians know that while they were groveling in their carnality, God had taken him to heaven to walk around heaven. What a mighty thing it must have been. And if you measure this back and go from this chapter back 14 years, and so many of the scholars have done this, you come to the place where Paul was stoned outside Lystra and dragged outside the town and left on the ground for dead. They dragged him out, they had stoned him, left him there. It seems to be at that moment God took him out of the body. Just took him up to heaven. Don't ask me to explain it or anything. Just believe it. So he said. He was taken to the third heaven, and that stops all the Jewish and other arguments about the seventh heaven. We hear poets talking about seventh heaven. Oh no, there is the atmospheric heaven around us, and there's the stellar heaven above us, and then you come to God's heaven. So that he was taken up into God's heaven. It was a very wonderful thing, you know, for God to do for him. And it was very wonderful that he kept quiet about it, too. Well, it must have been an experience to leave the body and stand on the golden street and see the angels and look at the Lord and come back to earth and start over again and shut up and say nothing about it. Not everybody God could trust with that sort of thing. It takes a steady hand to carry a full cup, you know. And so many haven't steady hands. But here's another thing. You can see not only the reality of heaven here, you can see the humility of the man and the reality of heaven. While it's called the third heaven in one place, it's called paradise in another. It's the same thing. Such an one caught up into paradise, it just changes it. God's heaven. But I don't only want you to see this, I want you to see something that's very thrilling for those of you who have loved ones in the glory this morning. You know, when Paul was taken out of the body, this poor old body was lying outside the gates at Lystra, and there were bruises upon it, they had stoned them. Now, as he was taken up and taken into paradise, he has to say this, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. So that our loved ones in the glory this morning, they don't even miss the body. It's the wonder of this thing, you know. We put their body in a coffin and we make it as nice as possible and take them to their last resting place, and we have to do this because the body's going into corruption. But you know, they themselves don't even know whether they're in the body or out of the body. It's a very wonderful thing, you know. He just didn't know. We could tell him now he wasn't in it at all. He was out of it, but he didn't miss it. And so you can see the humility of the man, and you can see the reality and the wonder of heaven. Now, he comes to talk on here at verse 5, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. He's sort of back to earth and talking about his infirmities. And though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear. He was just going to tell them a whole story about this thing, and then seems the Spirit took hold of him. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He was very careful about it. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You see, when God blesses a fellow, and God takes a fellow up and uses a fellow, remember, a fellow is still a fellow. And it's so easy for any one of us to lose our balance. And Paul wasn't beyond that, so I don't think any of the rest of us need sort of bark. Well, to be taken to heaven was something. And so God is making sure that he'll not be exalted above measure. He gives him what Paul calls a thorn in the flesh. Now, the thorn there is in a metaphorical sense. It's not an actual thorn in the flesh. Just using the word thorn in the flesh in a metaphorical way. It was something that hurt him. So it's a metaphorical thorn. That's the way he describes it. Came back to earth with a bump, didn't he? Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And then he changes the wording. The messenger of Satan, he calls it. Thorn in the flesh. As if this thing that was hurting him was personified. fiddle with the word all week. It's personified. You know, as if this thing that's hurting me and annoying me and upsetting me, it's almost a messenger of Satan to buffet me, hitting me every day. God was keeping him in his place, wasn't he? Now, I want you to watch this very carefully. You can see the metaphorical phrase, and then you can see this messenger personified, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, he just calls it this thing, and that's a good idea. He's not talking about the thorn or the messenger, he just called it this thing that's annoying me. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And I can tell you that's something, isn't it? Because as you go down this story, you see the humility of the man and the reality of heaven and the necessity of the thorn and the agency of the devil. It's all sorted there, all rolled up, and I don't want to get into it. Can you see the singularity of prayer? Can I talk to you people who pray? Do you ever come to pray about one thing? For this thing! My God, if you hadn't a program of a whole lot of things, you could hardly pray. Well, Paul prayed about one thing. Just one, for this thing. We need to learn to pray about one thing sometimes. I believe it's them we're praying. I believe if you came before God for one thing, it's on your heart and you're burdened and baffled by it, and that's the thing. You can talk all night about the world, you know. Yes, I want you to get the hold of this. You can see the singularity of prayer. Can you see the intensity? For this thing I besought the Lord. Besought is the word I'm after. It's a mighty word in the Greek. Oh, he's really getting the hold of the throne, isn't he? You see not only the singularity of prayer and the intensity, you see the continuity. He came again and again. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I want you to get this, because that's not the bit I'm after. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He wanted rid of it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, and I want you to get the word Christ in there. Because a fellow tackled me once about talking to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes I just say, let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. And I say, dear Lord. He says, you think you can talk to the Lord like that? I said, yes, I think I can talk to the Lord. He says, I think you have to say, our Father, which art in heaven. So I bring him over here and I said, that Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord. Who's he talking to? Because the Lord answered him. And he said unto me, that's the Lord answering him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, who's talking back. It's Christ he's talking to. For the first time in his life, he learned that. My, don't I have critics round me who don't even know the book. They sicken me sometimes with their ignorance. Oh, he was talking to Christ. And it was the power of Christ. It's my grace. It's Christ's grace. Yes, I want you to get the hold of that, because I'll tell you this. When I was talking to a Roman Catholic priest once, I was saying to him, that Jesus Christ is God? He says, I'm not sure of that. And I talked to him about him talking to Mary every day. And I said, do you think she hears you? He says, of course she hears me. And she hears all the Roman Catholics in Ireland and all the Roman Catholics in Scotland and England and Wales and France and America and everywhere. And if you're watching the TV and see the crowds that's out in Mexico, all the Roman Catholics all over the world talking to the Virgin Mary, she must be God if she can hear them. Then that annoyed him. Said to me, you would upset my faith. I said, before you go away, let me tell you that the Lord can hear them all. Paul was talking to our Lord, who's his deity. He can hear, you know. And if you have an infirmity, and you, and you, and you, and you, you can talk to the Lord, you know. Oh, yes. It not only proves the deity, proves the sufficiency. All the need that rises at times, but he's bigger than the need. Now, that's just the sort of introduction to the message, and the clock is making me annoyed. You see, when the Lord talks to Paul here, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, that's the text for this morning. You see, my strength, it's divine strength, of course, isn't it? It's made perfect. And there is a translation, it's Ronald Knox's translation, and it says, my strength is made fully perfect in your weakness. And so we have, at the beginning of the text, we have divine strength. And at the end of the text, we have human weakness. You see, the moment that he said this to Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Because, you know, let's drop this phrase, the thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan. This weakness was a human infirmity. He had an infirmity. It was annoying him. And most of the scholars believe that it was blindness. He was going blind. And if anyone in the meeting is going blind, you know how it annoys you. Just let me take the glasses off and, well, I know the book's there. I can see a white bit. And I can see colors down there. That's all. And these were specially made for me. The man who made them came up onto this platform and stood me back here and get these made for me to look at the book from here. They're not much use for anything else, but they do this very wonderfully. You see, this was a weakness, an infirmity. Now, I want you to get this. Paul wanted rid of this, you know. And it's a terrible thing when you have a human infirmity. Now, sometimes our weaknesses, they're not physical infirmities at all. Sometimes they may be mental infirmities. You know, there are souls in this world, this book says, who are feeble-minded. And I'm bound to take the word out of the book. It doesn't mean that the devil has taken hold of their mind. Their minds are not demon-possessed. But their minds are demon-distressed. He knows how to get in on them. And I've studied this all my life, and I know folks that the devil's getting in on, and I know how he's getting in. And I know how to block it, and I know how to do a whole lot of things for them, and I know how to help them. And he doesn't like it. Sometimes you see it's mental weakness. Yes, there are so many different kinds of weakness, you know. There's physical and mental, diabolical, Yes, emotional, if you like. I want you to get the hold of this. There are so many different kinds of physical weakness. There are folks in the meeting now who are going deaf. And when we get a preacher here who is just a little bit less noisy than I am, they can't hear him. They tell me, we never heard a word last Sunday. And some of you barge me for shouting. I'll tell you, the boys that's going deaf don't barge me. They bless me. So men between the devil and the deep sea, and I don't know which one's the devil. No, there are so many infirmities. There are all kinds of infirmities, you know. I'm a diabetic. I think the Lord gave it to me too. And I know I'll never get rid of it. And I'm bothered with high blood pressure, and sometimes it almost gets out of hand. A dear lady in the meeting looks after me. Yes, and I have great bother, and if it goes too far, you see, in the days to come, I'll not be here. The Lord will govern that, won't he? So I don't need to care. But I want you to see this. You see, if this infirmity is given to Paul just to keep him on a level, then it will never be taken away. There isn't a chance in the world. I besought the Lord thrice for this thing. You see, I think there's something that we must get clear here. It will never be removed. See that weakness. You know what the doctor says to you sometimes? You're going to have to live with it all your life. Only he doesn't tell you how to live with it. Yes, it's there and it's going to stay there. I'll tell you what's more. And this you can scarcely see sometimes. If you're going blind, you can scarcely see how it's working for your good. Oh, but it was working for Paul's good. Just take it away till you see. He'll do something silly. It's this thing that's keeping him right. So let's be quite clear about it. It will not be removed. It is doing him good. Let's keep clear about this bit. The Lord is not going to remove it. The Lord is going to keep it there. That weakness is going to stay there, Paul. And that weakness of yours may have to stay there too, and mine. But God can bless you in spite of it. Well, that's the bit, isn't it? This is where I tell you this now. My grace will be quite sufficient for you. I'm not removing it, but I can bless you in spite of it. See the 14 years? You measure the blessing in the 14 years, do you see? Oh, we got mighty books in the New Testament. Oh, the things that he had accomplished, and the miles he had travelled, and the messages he had preached, and the souls that had been saved, in spite of it. Oh, that's it, isn't it? Now we're nearly at the point, aren't we? I want you to get this, you know. Now listen tight, because this is good for you. See, it's there. You have your own. You get the hold of your own weakness, whatever it is, or whatever's annoying you. Maybe God gave you something like me. He's not going to move it, you know. It's there for your good, and he'll bless you in spite of it. Want you to get this. He'll not bless. He'll not remove it. But he'll bless you, but you will be responsible, you know. You and it are different. Don't think that he's going to take you and it over entirely and bless you without you having a responsibility. No! Have you got that? You'll better divide this thing. He's not touching the weakness, but I require things from you, Paul. I require you to trust my grace, Paul. I require you to come to me and look into my face and learn that I'm with you. I'll tell you this, you know what Paul did? Paul got this thing absolutely clear. All right, you're not going to shift this thing. But you want me to turn around and take all the grace that you can give me, the grace that kept you in Pilate's hall when they were battering your face and spitting on you. That grace will be sufficient for me, but I've got to come and get it. You're responsible, you know. He's not rolling you up in cotton wool, you know. You are responsible. Let's get a difference between you and the thorn. You're responsible. And Paul got to the place where he said, I have learned, in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Oh, that's mighty, you know. Oh, I know I've got diabetes and high blood pressure. I know the Lord's there too. I know your grace will be sufficient. I've a good idea you're not going to shift these things. Oh, but I'll get strength there somewhere. I've got to come and get it. You know, when he's writing the letter to the Hebrews, and it is Paul, you know, that's writing, and this is one of the places I would go to prove it. He says, by faith, out of weakness, they were made strong. Oh, he didn't say, the weakness was made strong. Not a bit of it. God won't touch the weakness. God will leave it there. Just let it be there. Ah, but they were made strong. Even in that position of weakness, by faith, in the sufficiency that's in Christ. Look, if I'm getting this across to you, I want you to see a clarity that's here. See the text. My strength, divine strength, is made perfect. Could I say a word about that and a phrase in the middle? You see the word perfect that's there. It's the old word, Greek word, teleo. It's the word that Christ shouted on the cross, finished! My strength is finished in your weakness. That is, if you are acting as a responsible saint and trusting me for the strength that's in me. Yes, that's it. Oh, there's a clarity here. It will not be removed. But God can bless in spite of it. But God can't bless in spite of you. Not this time. He wants you to be responsible. You've got to trust him for all the grace that's there and all the strength that's there. You've got to be, yea, by faith, being made strong, even in the hour of weakness. You know, there's a clarity and a responsibility and a sufficiency. Where do you get this bit out for? There's a victory there. Because down the chapter, as we come to the end of the thing, he says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. That's getting through to victory, you know. Wonder what your weakness is. You know, don't you? You know the thing that annoys you. You know the physical or the mental or the emotional. You know all about it. Ah, God is not going to remove it. No. But there's sufficiency in the Lord Jesus. Oh, but you're responsible to come. It's not just going to flow onto your head, you know, and he's not going to make you a big fella without you doing something. You've got to trust him. You've got to know where it's coming from. You've got to have the hold of the Lord. Because, you know, as he turned round and trusted and depended and found his sufficiency in the risen Lord, he says, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He was into victory now. Can we get there this week? May God take us there. May God make us more than conquerors through him who loved us. God bless you.